Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'm Nat.
Hi. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Oh, I've just been busy with my nuts.
Of course you have been. Please tell me more.
You know what's so funny? So Yo Nuts is, you know, this organic thing that just happened, and we didn't, you know, it was just because I was sick of saying to people, "Oh, go and mix these things together," and not all of them are nuts. Let's be honest, it just was the name. And then all of a sudden, all these people want orders, and it's like, oh, it's actually a thing. Okay, we're actually, it's a business. We need to be serious about it. But that's been fun. So we've got lots of new places that we're stocking Yo Nuts and all of the blends. So that's what I've been doing.
That's so super. Where can people find them? I mean, like, how did they find out?
Online or in, depending on where they are. We've got distributors in some areas and not in others, but we're in the next sort of couple of weeks, they'll be making their way into most good health food stores.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So awesome. Congrats.
Thanks.
Yay.
What about you?
I am just doing my thing, spending time in San Francisco, escaping the very cold winter on the East Coast. And I just kicked off my apprenticeship. I have nearly 50 amazing, incredible women in it. Yeah. So it's been quite an experience. I can't believe the caliber of women in this group. So that's what's been up.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good times all around.
Speaking of awesome women.
Yes, we have an amazing person on this episode. We'll be talking to Kirsty Wirth about addressing estrogen dominance by addressing candida overgrowth. She is the founder of Cultured Wellness, and that's a company whose mission is to inspire and educate people to take control of their health by eating real and fermented foods that nourish the brain and the gut. Very excited to talk today to you, Kirsty. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay!
I just said to Kirsty when we were not recording, I'm excited to have a fellow Australian on this podcast. Let's just start with that. Yeah. There's not a lot of us.
There's not a lot of you. Not in this part of the world.
Nah, anyway. But anyway, let's jump in. I mean, I know it's a hot topic and we're talking a lot. Everyone's talking about the gut and the microbiome, but perhaps let's start there. What does it do and how does it make an impact on our hormones, on neurotransmitters? And I mean, how does it basically help us to be awesome humans?
Well, you know, I suppose we need to look at the start of the basics. You know, we are basically almost 90% bacteria and only about 10% human cells. So when you really think about that, we don't have much control over how we feel unless we have control over that bacteria. So, you know, our microbiome is where everything happens. We make our hormones in there. We regulate our inflammation. It's such a starting point for so many amazing, you know, parts of the body and how we build our building blocks and our foundations of the body. So it's not just as simple as, oh, we digest our food in there, or, oh yeah, when I have a gut bug, this is where it hangs out. It literally just plays such a huge part in everything to do with our health and, you know, our immune system, but right down to we make our hormones in our gut. And the relationship between our gut and our brain is so intrinsically linked that, you know, now it's become fashionable to talk about it and everyone's starting to know about it. But this has been happening for our existence. It's not as if it's just suddenly started happening for us. But the microbiome is this beautiful little community of all of these symbiotic bacteria. It's an amazing relationship of microorganisms. And we can have amazing microorganisms in there, but we can also have some pathogenic ones in there, so which can cause some issues. So it is quite a complex thing to unpack, but if you look at it as just this simple system that basically optimizes all of our hormones and balances blood sugar and inflammation and helps us with our immune system, it's a pretty amazing place to look.
No doubt. I am so excited about this conversation because I feel like nobody outside of the alternative world really recognizes candida. So I would love to hear what it is, you know, how it becomes out of balance for people and, you know, and we'll go from there. But yeah, what is it and how does it become out of balance?
Yeah, so I mean, candida, we do want a little bit in our microbiome. We do want a little bit in our bodies because it helps us to digest it in vitamins and nutrients, and it helps us even absorb heavy metals and you know, sort of detox out heavy metals. So some people see candida as this, we've got to eradicate it, we have to get rid of it. And mm-hmm. we certainly don't. We want to rebalance it. So we have to be quite clear about that. It's not, you know, it's a pathogen we have to get rid of. We just want to keep it in the, you know, in its box and make sure it's doing only what it's supposed to be doing. So, you know, obviously it's a yeast, and so it loves to live on sugar. It lives in a vacuum, so it doesn't like too much oxygen, just loves a heap of sugar. Mm. And so, you know, it's something that we certainly want a little bit of, but unfortunately because of our lifestyles and our diet and environment, it really gets out of hand really quickly because of that sugar. And I'm talking about, you know, if someone even had some sweet potato or a bowl of rice, sometimes that can be enough sugar in some people's system to get a candida, you know, fungus or yeast out of balance. So we can get a lot of trouble when it can start to take over. It's a bit like a housemate taking over too many rooms of the house, and suddenly you've only got one housemate living in there and there's supposed to be seven. Like, hang on a minute, what happened here? So, yeah, so it's, and unfortunately for some people, candida can really start to get out of control and become what we call systemic. So it can cruise throughout the whole system and cause, you know, bloating and headaches and backache and, you know, extreme fatigue. It can really upset menstrual cycles. Cramping, you can, like, you know, travel down the line as far as, you know, depression and quite severe mental health problems. So it's something that needs to be recognized and certainly something that needs to be put back into balance.
Mm-hmm. How do you test for it? Oh, sorry, Nat, I just had a quick question. Oh, you were going to... Great minds.
Yeah.
How do you test for it? How do you test for candida or candida overgrowth?
Yeah, so the probably the best way to test is through a gut sample or through a stool sample. Mm-hmm. So you can send away your stool sample to some amazing labs. Like, it's incredible how far the science has come to be able to, you know, test what's living in our bodies. So stool sample's a good way. There are also right down to sort of at-home saliva tests, which are, you know, are a wonderful sort of at-home test, but it's certainly not going to be a great scientific, you know, sort of data for you. So the best way is to get a very comprehensive stool analysis. So when we talk about comprehensive, I mean, it's your local GP or doctor probably wouldn't go as in-depth as you need. So you need to make sure that you're using, I think you guys have got Great Plains labs over there and Biome and some pretty amazing labs. And in Australia, we have Bioscreen as some great ways to get it tested.
Mm, okay, that's really good to know. I feel like there's a number of different labs that doctors here use, and I think in some cases people can do them on their own here. Can they do them on their own in Australia too?
We're starting to become, more sort of user-friendly or, you know, public, direct to the public, but not as much as you guys. Like, I know that you've got quite a few options. But, we're getting there. We're slowly getting there.
Awesome.
I send them, but as a practitioner, I guess it's different than I'm answering.
Yeah. And the same with Culture Wellness. Our practitioners, as part of our team, send them off. So, you can see a naturopath or, you know, like what you're doing, Nat. So, and it's just it's like opening a window into your little world. It's amazing. It's definitely worth getting your gut tested. I mean, if I had my way, when everyone has their yearly checkup, they have a gut test at the same time.
Oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah. Let's write that into the Medicare.
Yeah, let's write that in. Totally. So I know that, you know, rewind 10 years ago, and if someone was diagnosed with candida, they were put on a complete clearing regime where they basically cleared everything out. Can we talk about why that has changed and what we now know? Because unless I'm incorrect, you know, we're approaching things, and obviously we know more now, but there's still people that utilize that whole idea of let's get rid of everything and start again, whether it's not necessarily antibiotics. There's still complementary therapies that kind of advocate for that too.
Mm. So when you say clear out, like a really strict diet, or you're talking about...
I know that even, you know, I still see people going on an eradication, so whether it's through diet and herbs and supplements and whatever, and it's this whole, like, you know, elimination, eradication. It's very, I find it's often quite harsh for people. So I'd love to hear your opinion on that in terms of, you know, what people are currently doing and whether that works or not.
Yeah, so there's, you know, there's so many people trying so many different things because it's so debilitating that they just want to try and get hold of it and manage it. But I think what's happened is, yes, in the past a lot of people have just done this, you know, massive eradication of taking all sugars and everything out of the diet. And what the issue there is, though, is there was not really an understanding of the biofilms and how they significantly impact how we can actually manage candida. So these biofilms are these little films, you know, made of polysaccharides and sugars that it's kind of like a force field, like a Star Wars force field that completely protects the candida infection or any other infection in the body. And so it doesn't really matter how much sugar you strip out or how much, you know, how much you vomit with herbs, or even if you went to some of the more, Nielstat and some of those sorts of things, it's not going to reach and make a change unless you've broken down those biofilms. So now they're, because we have so much knowledge about this, we can work at utilizing enzymes to break down that biofilm, to peel back that layer. So then we can expose the candida infections, because they literally like drill holes into your gut wall and they really impact the permeability of the gut and cause, you know, quite significant inflammation. And so once you peel back those biofilms and you can start to actually manage the candida and get that balance right, then you can start to make a change. So, yeah, unfortunately, people, you know, are on these really elaborate sort of, you know, clearing out kind of diets, but it's not going to get anywhere because of the function of how pathogens and how bacteria protect themselves. So we now have such a great understanding of that. So, you know, breaking down that biofilm. Of course, you can't eat foods that are going to feed the candida whilst you're doing that. And then absolutely using some herbs or using diet and as a sort of way of managing that, you can bring that back into balance. But on the flip side of that, you've got to be nourishing all the other microbial community in the gut with beautiful fibres and probiotics and fermented nutrition to try and bring that balance back. So it is nice. We've come a long way, but there was
totally. There's still a long way to come. I know for Geordie, who obviously he has cystic fibrosis, and a lot of the treatment is antibiotics in any moment. You know, they'll be very quick to do that, and they very not that long ago, you know, started to identify the whole concept of biofilm forming over, especially difficult things to eradicate like Pseudomonas and stuff. They're the main things that are tricky for kids with CF to deal with. And but their solution to this is a concoction of antibiotics that can hopefully then, like they're completely so afraid of biofilm. I got a letter from the hospital the other day saying, Geordie hasn't been in for his regular checkups. The reason we need him to do this is because it takes 6 months for biofilm to form in these instances. And if he's not coming regularly, then we can't keep our finger on that. Therefore, we can't eradicate the biofilms. I'm like, oh please. Yeah. Oh, dear. Like, you know what I mean? There's still a long way to go. But I think the good thing is that there's research in this now, and there's evidence that we, you know, nature has what we need. We just need to know how to use it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, just having a glass of apple cider vinegar every morning, it's one of the most potent ways to break down biofilm. You know, like just very pineapple, you know, there's so many beautiful things that you can include that make such a big difference. I mean, that my boy is exactly the same. He's got, you know, significant health issues that we have to manage every day. And, so quick to whack in the antibiotics and, you know, the enzymes that we can use are from nature that can break down those biofilms and keep us healthy. And if we know that our bodies have a susceptibility to not being able to protect ourselves against those biofilms, if we add certain things into our diet every day to combat that, then, yeah, that fear shouldn't be there. And this, like you were saying, this completely overtop sort of behaviour of, oh, we better do this and better take these drugs and do that. It's just not necessary.
It's so exciting. I just love that you're talking about the biofilm in general, because nobody talks about this. And when it comes to urinary tract infections or any kind of infection like chronic UTIs, for instance,
there is never a mention of biofilm at all. I wrote about it recently, and I thought that it was, you know, I thought it was great information to share with people, because women, again, just take prescribed antibiotic after antibiotic and have no idea that, like you said, the bacteria is protected behind a force field, so to speak. Yeah. So it's really great that you're sharing that, because I imagine that this is very similar, right? That a chronic UTI situation is very similar to what's happening in the gut.
Totally. Like candida is systemic. It can form anywhere in the body, from your teeth to, you know, in your nasal passages and obviously in the vaginal passage. So, we need to look at it as like a system whole thing rather than just I've got it in my gut. And, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, because women, you know, in their menstrual cycle, they, because of estrogen having such an important part of our cycle, it does actually increase sugars at certain times of the month. And so if you've got more sugars in, vaginal sugars, then you're going to find that it's going to feed that candida. And so if you're not actively managing that through, making sure that it's, you know, having lots of sugars in the diet and you've got the biofilms under control, you'll be fine. But if that's not on your radar, very, very easily, you can be following that sort of pattern of, you know, every sort of 21 days, you're managing your thrush and you're dealing with, you know, really horrible things that just don't need to be happening if we just understood a little bit about how these systems work. Because, you know, we're symbiotic with nature. We're no different. We're an organism, and those organisms follow nature, and we need to sort of get back to thinking about that as well. We have cycles. We follow certain, different natural sort of parts. And so I think we still see us as quite separate to that, and that, you know, we're not organisms that require different foods and different ways of sort of living.
No kidding. I would love to talk about excess estrogen, because we obviously talk about it in the hormonal health world a lot, and I would love to hear about it in how it relates to candida overgrowth and gut health in general. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, so basically excess estrogen promotes vaginal candida. So just sort of what we were talking about before, it raises the sugar levels, and so the estrogen raises the sugar levels. And then the excess estrogen sort of reduces the cell's ability to prevent the colonization of that candida in the vaginal walls. And so once again, we've got like another sort of way that candida can sort of come in and tap into the body and take up house and then build those biofilms. So, there's multiple sort of things that can happen there. But another reason is the candida waste product, this acetohide, that it, you know, releases when it's fed or as part of its way of living, that also mimics estrogen as well. So that sends out certain messages to the body about, are we producing enough? Are we not producing enough? And so, oh, we better produce more estrogen. And, you know, obviously once the candida has started to grow and multiply, and then that generates inflammation in the body just on its own,
right,
which then raises blood sugar levels, which then, you know, more candida comes. So, a lot of people, oh, I've got this candida infection, I've got to get rid of it. And like you were saying that, you know, let's strip everything back. But if you're still producing too much estrogen, you're never, ever going to get rid of it, because the estrogen is literally like a beast feeding that candida by changing the pH in the body and changing the sugars in so many parts of the body.
Well, that brings me into the genetic side of things, right?
Yeah.
The COMT gene, and how, you know, why is it that some women are genetically predisposed to having higher estrogen, whereas some are predisposed to lower estrogen and the estrobilome and all of these things. But I would love to talk about the COMT gene, because that's not something anybody really talks about either.
No. Well, the COMT gene, you know what, I reckon that's the biggest blessing to have that gene, because it makes you so switched on. You can perform at a pretty high level having that gene. So if you're listening to this and you know that you have the COMT gene, just give yourself a high five, because
that's
it is
me. I do.
Of course you do.
Of course you know that you do.
Of course, Nat. Come on now. I've had my genes analysed.
Yeah, totally. I love my COMT gene. But on certain days, I don't love my COMT gene.
Same here, sister.
Yeah, the COMT gene helps us to detox out adrenaline, all of our neurotransmitters, and specifically estrogen. So if that gene isn't working effectively, it's a bit like a gate. So the gate kind of stops every now and again and shuts. And if the gate is like, you can imagine, a running river, and suddenly you stop and put that gate there, all of the water is going to back up and you're going to have, you know, a flood somewhere else. And that's the same as this COMT gene. If that gate is shut, which is basically what happens if you've got some, you know, some genetic implications there, then you can't detox it out. And so it's just going to move around back in the system again. And, you know, if we're talking about candida, it will move around and raise those blood sugar levels and give the candida something wonderful to thrive on. But it also changes so many different hormones in our body. For example, if we can't detox out estrogen, that's going to impact our progesterone, and it's going to impact so many different areas of the body, and, you know, once again, make us feel pretty crap and depressed and bloated and you know, just that whole water retention. It's not nice. But the COMT gene is so responsible for that detox. So looking at your COMT gene can help you to think, okay, so I've got this block. So what do I do now? I can definitely stop drinking, because it's the first thing that shuts the gate. Mm-hmm. Sugar shuts the gate. We can look at things like calcium D-glucarate. We can look at beautiful B vitamins, B12, B6, amazing cofactors for that COMT gene. Magnesium is a cofactor for that COMT gene. So jump in an Epsom salt bath, get into out to the ocean and just completely, you know, roll around in the sand. And, you know, get your leafy greens in and, you know, have some of Nat's nuts and get into those. So there's so many ways that you can get your magnesium and open up that COMT gene and open up that gate and allow all of that excess just to flood out of the body. And as you see that flood out, then you'll notice that your candida starts to come down and change and rebalance. Not on its own, because you're doing other stuff as well, but it will start to not feel like this beast that you just have no control over. But multiple systems in the body you have to look at, and this COMT is definitely one of them.
Oh my gosh, this is such good information, because I feel like so many women have this exact issue. And I know this is the way medicine is going and we're getting more personalized and looking at underlying genetic components, but I'm really happy that you shared this info.
Go ahead, Nat. In that direction, but there's still this big gap. It's just bizarre. I still don't, I mean, I look at, you know, again, Geordie, because that's my, besides women's health, that's my in, when, especially when it comes to genetics. And I just still feel like, you know, there's all this stuff that we know is happening, yet I feel like it's still not being taken seriously.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think there's a lot of fear around it. I mean, even when I talk to my clients and talk to people about the genetics, it's like, you know, you can almost see them changing colour right in front of you. And we need to really understand the concept of epigenetics and the fact that our diet and our environment and our lifestyle will literally switch these genes on and off.
Absolutely, but people don't realize that though, right? Because they've already been programmed to believe that their genetics are their destiny and that's it, end of story. So you're going to die by your genes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just not the case. So, right. You know, when we talk about that COMT gene, it processes our, you know, adrenals.
Yeah.
And you're just like pumping yourself on 100 miles an hour. You're jacked up on coffee and chocolate and everything else. And your adrenals are just going crazy and you've been sitting in front of a computer screen for, you know, 14 hours. Then that gene, that COMT gene, is going to be completely under the pump. Whereas, you know, if you took that time out to get it back in touch with nature, take those deep breaths, lower your cortisol through exercise, well, you know, the exercise, it's not going to push it. And, you know, really have some of those practices that drops the adrenals, then that gene's not going to be under the pump so much. So it's not really going to matter if you've got a SNP there or a mutation there or not, because you're managing it through your lifestyle and your environment.
No doubt. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Can we just talk a little bit? I know Nicole mentioned Easter Bloom. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I feel like for a lot of people, that's a big part of the puzzle as well, obviously. And I find it wild. I find it actually so wild that, you know, it's our microbiome that actually turns on and off our genes as well. So I know we've kind of touched on it, but can we keep on talking about that a little bit longer?
Yeah, so I suppose it's a really nice opportunity to sort of do a little bit of a scenario. So if I was to look at someone's bi-screen, which is their gut test, and their Bacteroides, which is like the, you know, the main thing that we want living in our gut that we inherit from our mum, it's all those beautiful bacteria that help us to build an immune system and build our hormones and all those sorts of things. If I was to see on someone's test that they had, you know, little or no composition of those Bacteroides, then they're really not going to be able to create those building blocks. For example, their hormones, or they can't digest their vitamins or their nutrients. They, you know, and then they can't build all of the different pathways and all of the different, you know, aspects that our body needs. So, for example, we know that, you know, there's this amazing bacteria in our gut called the bifidostrains, the bifidobacterium strains. And if they're not really thriving and prevalent, then we can't make B12. And if we can't make B12, guess what? We can't manage that COMT gene. And we can't manage, you know, so many different other functions of the body. So, you know, we know that the astrobilome is a wonderful place for where we build our hormones and how we make them, and they're built in our gut, but they go up through the vagus vein into our brain and influence how we feel and influence our decisions. And it's not just separate systems. They're so intricately linked. And so exactly now we need to look at, if we don't have the building blocks there, and, you know, my son was born without those building blocks, because when I was pregnant and when I gave birth to him, I didn't have those appropriate building blocks, because I, you know, had so many antibiotics and just didn't look after myself very well and didn't understand what the gut can do. And so, you know, those amazing bacteria that form the microbiome and form the astrobilome, they are so vital to every single part of our system. So we can't look at it as isolated to, oh, my liver does this, or, oh, my brain does this.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And I think you're right. And a lot of us, I think, look, we might have done things in the past that have, in fact, pretty much all of us have done things in the past that have compromised our health in some way. And we don't necessarily know what they are at the time, but we find them out as time goes by. And that's okay. I think it's what we do moving forward that actually matters, not just sitting back and going, oh, well, I stuffed up, so now this is my new me. We can keep on, we must keep on doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And our bodies want to find homeostasis. Like, our bodies want to balance. And we can balance that. We just have to provide it with the building blocks again. And then it will. It will come back into balance again. Now, for some people, it might take a lot longer than other people. But, it, you know, we can find a balance where we feel like we're thriving. We still might have issues that we're dealing with, but we can get to that place where we feel like we're thriving.
Yeah, I think the issue, and I know we're out of time, but I think the issue also is that we want the quick fix. And, you know, this is why many of us, you know, how many patients I have come in the clinic and they're like, oh, I had to take another round of antibiotics. I'm like, did you really? Just kind of set yourself back, you know. I don't feel that. I feel like you're right. And we are kind of pushed into ideas, and it can be so overwhelming. And one person's telling you one thing and one's telling you another. I just don't think there's never any danger in rebuilding something so that you can then have better health. Like, that is never going to let you down. Having said that, sometimes when people embark on this journey, they can feel a bit strange, can't they? You know, we start to introduce things and bacteria back in that hasn't been there. Quickly, before we wrap, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, is it okay? Is it as easy as taking a probiotic and adding some fermented food to the diet?
No. unfortunately not. And exactly like you said, I mean, if you have come from having quite a significant amount of sugar in your diet and then you change that and you start to have beautiful, nourishing fermented foods, it's, you know, these bacteria, they're going to have an all-out war with each other in your gut and in your body. So it's almost like the, you know, good versus evil sort of thing. So when you rebalance that and the bad ones die off and the good ones start to take over, there's a lot of chemicals and a lot of things that are toxins that are released. And so you don't feel great. And so that can be quite concerning for someone. They're like, oh my gosh, I swapped to a whole foods diet and started eating ferments and I feel terrible. I felt heaps better when I was eating McDonald's and my chocolate.
You gave the sugar back. I felt good then in comparison.
Yeah, totally.
I see this with patients all the time. And then they're like, this, you know, their husband's piping, this can't be right. You shouldn't be feeling like this. This woman's crazy. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, certainly I see people literally vomiting or having all sorts of sort of symptoms of the body rebalancing again. And I think embrace that because it means that you're making ground for, you know, really thriving health in the future. But yeah, no, it's not as simple. You need to look at it from a whole perspective of, okay, what am I doing daily to, you know, nourish my body, but nourish my brain and nourish my, you know, myself as well. And, you know, you do need to take some biofilm, you know, enzymes to break down that biofilm. You do need to incorporate herbs into your diet. You need to choose the right probiotics that are right for you. I mean, that's another whole thing that we need to go into, but not all probiotics are created equal and not everyone can have the certain probiotics. So, you know, the whole sort of gut health area is definitely moving towards tailored probiotics, and we need to really understand that what is good for one person is not good for another, because our bacteria can be out of balance in one way for someone and out of balance in another way for someone else. So when you get your test done, you know you can add the right, you know, right probiotics in that will cause you to, you know, recover quickly rather than actually cause worse problems for yourself. So yeah,
of course people are going to want to know how to do this, and we need to find out how we can direct them to you. So do you want to let our listeners know where they can find you?
Yeah, so culturedwellness.com is the place to find us. Now, that's with a K for culturedwellness.com.
We'll put the details in, don't worry. All good.
Okay. And, you know, like my biggest sort of passion is to be able to provide education for people. So there's amazing blog posts on biofilm. There's amazing blog posts on genetics and candida. And we have like a candida bundle where, you know, there's an amazing ebook that really breaks all this stuff down, and then it includes, you know, the right ferments, culture starters and herbs and enzymes. So, you know, we just sort of put it all together so it's not so overwhelming and you can move forward to balancing it.
Love it. Awesome. Yeah. That's so good. I think that's what people are craving and looking for. So we're delighted that we could have you on here today and talk about all of this. And we'd love to keep on talking, but unfortunately we are out of time. So, you know, if people are wanting more, they know where to find you. For all of our listeners, don't be afraid to get in touch with the guys at Cultured Wellness. And Kirsty has obviously got heaps of information for that. Those of you who want more information, go back and also check out some of our previous podcasts. There's lots of them there now, we're excited to say, and we would be so appreciative if you took a couple of minutes to rate them as well on iTunes. I'm going to say bye, Kirsty, and we're going to say bye to Nicole, and we will speak soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.